Right. Well, let's celebrate tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Nancy, I think you're supposed to pray.
Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you for your presence. We're so blessed. So blessed to know you. To know the power of your resurrection, Lord. To be seated, Ephesians 2 tells us, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what's more, to be able to rule and reign.
Thank you, Jesus.
From that place of authority, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we can do that like every morning to start the day, Father. To not rule over people, but rule over demons. And stop their work. And pull their blinders off the minds and lives of people so they can be saved and see the glory of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the word. We received the word tonight, and we thank you that it is life to us, Lord, and we live by it, Lord. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer. And thank you, Lord, for being with us. Tonight we basically have one scripture. And I heard it this week, and it made such an impression on me. It's still rolling around inside of me. I said, Lord, I'm not sure what to speak on. He said, that's what you're to speak on. So it's in a book we don't usually access, Zechariah. In fact, I misspelled it, so forgive me, please. But it is in Zechariah, chapter 4. It's Z-E-C-H, and I put Z-A. Takes the spelling, I guess. I forget. That's all that happened. Zechariah chapter 4. Now, I knew verse 6. Well, let's just read it. Then the angel that talked with me answered. So, back up. Zechariah is having an encounter with an angel. Whether it was a vision or whether it was an angel actually came and stood in his presence. I think an angel came and stood in his presence. And different things would come in front of him. One was a candlestick, one were two olive trees. So he is having this conversation and encounter with his angel. Now, read. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6 is so important to me. Then the angel answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Stop. Who is Zerubbabel? Well, he was the leader of the Jewish people that had returned from Babylon. And he wanted to build the temple. And every time he'd get started or get going, something would happen. Now, you know, other places in the Bible, Ezra was very involved in building the temple, and then Nehemiah built a wall. You know, so it's in that same time they're trying to rebuild the things that had been destroyed when Babylon came in and took over. So this is 70 years later, and they come back to the land, but Zerubbabel just kept running into all kinds of problems. Well, here, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So this is an encounter, a divine encounter. And we've got three verses here that are often quoted, or two anyway, that are often quoted. This one, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord told me several years, probably 15 years ago, every time you hear that verse, that's me getting your attention to listen to what's being said. So if I mean, I've had many times I'll be listening to a preacher and I might kind of wander or doze off or whatever, and I'll hear, not by might. That means this is to me. Wake up. I'm not giving that to everybody, but I'm telling you, God said that to me. So that's a very important verse to me. That means, attention, Elizabeth, you're fixing to hear something you need to know. And then the next, on down, who has despised the day of small things or small beginnings? We hear it sometimes translated. And that's so true. And sometimes people say that to try to make us feel better about our failure. Oh, you only have 10 in your church? I said, they have small beginnings. I myself have 200,000. But that's not the context. The context here is, you might start small, but you're going to finish big. And look what the angel said to Zechariah, so he would tell the leader, the hands of Zerubbabel have started, or they laid the foundation. His hands will finish. And I believe that this is a word to us. See yourself in the place of Zerubbabel as the leader. See yourself. You started a work. You thought you heard God. You thought you were supposed to do this or do that. And you started and everything came against you. It just wasn't working. And you thought, either I didn't hear God, or I need to quit, or it's all my fault, or there's a problem. There is a problem. And see yourself as hearing this angel speak to the prophet on your behalf and say, you started and you will finish successfully. And he said, here's a key, and this is what I heard this week. One of the keys is, you come to that mountain, or you come to that problem, or perhaps a series of problems, and you speak to those problems. Now we know that, Mark 11:23, speak to the mountain. And what are you supposed to speak? Well, in this scripture, you're supposed to speak grace. Grace. Now look, I'll put different translations. CEV, that stands for Contemporary English Version. And this is the verse 7. Zerubbabel, that mountain in front of you will be leveled to the ground. Then you will bring out the temple's most important stone and shout, God has been very kind, or grace, grace. In other words, this causing the mountain to become a plain is a work of God. Your success in finishing this project is a work of God. And that's what we're acknowledging by faith ahead of time. That's what he was teaching him. You go speak to that problem, that mountain, that trouble, whatever's in the way. Grace. In other words, God's going to change you. God's going to level you. He's going to move you. He's going to do whatever, cast you into the sea. God's going to do it, and I'm speaking by faith ahead of time. Let's look at GNT. That stands for God's... Yes. Okay. Or something. God's new. God's something. Anyway. It says, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear before you. Wow. Wow. When you start to do something, the work of God, you need to hear that. You need to hear that those obstacles, even though they appear as big as a mountain, will disappear before you. The gift of God. You will rebuild the temple. Now, what do we know of? What do we know about Scripture? And it talks about the temple. Is that 1 Corinthians or is it Galatians?
We're the temple.
Ah, finally, we are the temple. You are the temple. So if we're going to rebuild the temple, in effect, we're rebuilding the place of worship inside of us.
Oh, that's so good.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And he says, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear before you. You will rebuild the temple. And as you put the last stone in place, the people will shout, beautiful, beautiful, or grace, grace. Now, who is the stone?
That the builders rejected Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus. And that's what we're doing. We are rebuilding or building a place, a habitation for Jesus.
God.
When I was growing up, they would talk about the old man and the new man. And they would try to have these pictures. There's the new man. And here's the old man, but he's still there. And so they're trying to teach us self-discipline. But I never did it.
Thank God.
Do you remember the lessons there? and you know, you've heard this, whichever one you feed is the stronger one. And different things, but I just want that old man washed out. I don't want to be dealing with him. But what I do want inside of me is a place of worship. The stone the builders rejected is what I'm building. I'm using that as building material to build up Christ, or to build a place of worship inside of me. And you too. Look at the Living Bible, TLB. That made me laugh. TLB. I thought, what's that stand for? TLB. Don't you know, this is the Living Bible. Now, this is not a New Living. It's the old, the first time when, what's his name? Maybe I'll think of it later. He decided we needed a Bible in more modern English. I think that was back in the 60s.
Wycliffe?
No, it's going too far back. These are more modern. 1960s.
Zondervan. I don't know.
Martin Luther. Those names too, you know. Paul.
It's good enough for Paul. It's good enough for people think that about the King James.
Well, this particular person was riding and lived in the East, and he would ride the train back and forth to work. And he, one day, got out a little scrap of paper and started taking a verse he was reading and making it more modern. I don't want to use the word modern, but easier to understand, perhaps. And he did the homework. That man did the Living Bible. Well, later, you know, it's become the New Living Translation.
Who's the, maybe it's in the, he's got a New Living, I think.
Does it say who wrote it?
It may say who wrote it.
Which, where's the,
at the very beginning of your Bible, does it say who did the, Taylor. Mr. Taylor.
Never knew.
Tyndale House Publishers.
He's like me.
But what's his first name?
Mr. I'm sorry. Kenneth N. Taylor.
Kenneth? There's another Kenneth.
And then his was a paraphrase. Now, he didn't go to the Hebrew and go to the Greek. He just took the King James and rewrote it, shall we say. And so that's what we're looking at, the Living Bible. And that was in 1971 that he published it. That was close. So let's read the scripture. Get off my silliness and read the scripture. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel. I want you to say, can stand before me.
Can stand before me.
For it will flatten out before me.
It will flatten out before me.
And I will finish building this temple. With mighty shouts of thanksgiving. For God's mercy.
Declaring
that all was done by grace alone.
Hallelujah. All was done by grace alone.
Ooh.
Glory to God.
So let's think. I mean, I don't want you to tell me, but think personally. Surely you see some mountains that are keeping you from completing the destiny that you believe God's called you to. I know we've got a little one here, and part of Elizabeth's destiny is to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that can be a mountain.
Poverty.
and we're not in that same place right now, but we have other things that I have things, I think, you know, this is not right. This is bothering me. I want this fixed. And this seems to be holding me back. And, you know, I've got mountains that seem so large and insurmountable because I don't have the wisdom to go around them or over them or through them. And yet, I need to stand up to that mountain and say, grace.
Hallelujah.
All is going to be done by grace alone. Grace to you. One thing we're praying is to have 50 people at the Victory Temple. And when we finish praying that, when that happens, we're going to pray for 50 in each service, which some people already are. That's one mountain. I can't go drag people in off the street, and I don't know how to do that. But I do know how to holler grace.
Amen.
Grace. At this temple, Victory Temple.
And saying thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thanksgiving. Shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy. declaring all was done by grace alone. And then I went ahead and put the message in, which it doesn't quite divide the verses like we used to, but it says, the messenger angel said, can't you tell? No, sir, I said. And he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force these things. Mm-hmm. They only come about through my spirit, says God of the angel armies. So, Big Mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you are nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it. Amen? Mm-hmm. And there are people, and there are certainly angels, cheering us on.
Yes.
Yes, yes, do it, do it. You can do it. Take that step. Make that phone call. Go visit that restaurant and tell them you need a place for 30 people. You can do it. Go, go.
Amen.
Amen. I love that, you know, every time it says Jehovah Sabaoth or Lord of the armies, what armies is he talking about? He's talking about the angels.
Yes.
That he commands and that you command when you speak his word. You command armies, not humans. We don't command humans, but we do speak the word and the angels obey. So we've got the situation here. This is a great victory message. We see mountains, we see problems, we see things in our way, we see needs, we see a lot of things. You know, what's keeping us from whatever it is? Let's say that we want to be debt-free. We see in the Word, Romans 13:8, oh, no one anything except to love Him, and we say, I don't want that in my life. What's hindering? Well, I could name a lot of stuff as hindering, but it looks like a mountain. And so it's my job, my privilege, to say grace to you, debt. Grace. Grace to you. God's grace is knocking you down in Jesus' name.
Yes.
One time I heard a Pastor Terry preaching about how do we bring these mountains down. And she went to a scripture, your swords will be turned into pruning hooks.
Mm.
Well, I never quite knew what a pruning hook was, but evidently it's a farming implement, like a rake type thing. And she said, as you speak, you're raking the mountain down. Your words are bringing that mountain down just as much as a farming implement brings down a mound of dirt. Amen. And then I like this. It says, who do you think you are? Next to God's person, next to John, next to Philip, next to Nancy, next to Elizabeth, and next to Gianna, you're nothing but a molehill.
Amen.
See, our eyes have to be changed. Our seeing has to be changed.
Yes.
Our thinking has to be changed. And that's what we're doing here every Wednesday
yes.
and every Sunday. And
yes.
You're doing it at your own home all the time. Letting God change your, as John says, letting God wash you. Amen.
Yes.
Because there are things God's told you that He wants you to do.
Yes.
And I know we know a precious pastor. And the Lord told him, he says, which I believe him, I believe he hears God. The Lord told him he would pastor a 500 member church. Well, he's pastored maybe 100, but never 500. And so he still has that up before the Lord. What, Lord, you said I would do this. I'm not trying to gain recognition or some kind of honor myself. I want to your word to come to pass. And so he needs to stand up and speak to that mountain. Right now, I think he has about a 10-member church. Grace, grace, amen. So that the will of God will come forth. We just got a sweet phone call and letter from a little girl. She was little when we knew her in Orange, Texas. At Calvary's Purchase, her name was Mariah. Mariah. Is that Mariah? She's just graduated from college, and she's going for 2 months to Argentina. And so she's contacting us if we'd be willing to help support her endeavor. See, she's seen a mountain. God has given her a vision. She said 2 years ago, they went to training with this organization called the Navigators, and the training was to teach them to witness, teach them more about the mission field. And they went to Branson, and so part of their teaching, they went to a college campus and began to witness on campus. And she met two girls from China and started sharing with them the gospel, and they said, in our country, it's against the law to worship Jesus, to worship God. And it filled her heart. I mean, it's just as if her heart opened and the nations of the world. And that put such a desire in her heart to do what she needed to do to preach the gospel throughout the world. I don't have that. I have the United States, you know, and occasionally someone will talk about another country. But she has the whole world. See, God has given her a vision of what she's to do. She's to do whatever God tells her to do in relation to winning the world to Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, that's a mountain. It's such a mountain I can't even think about it. But to her, she can think about it. And it's a mountain, so she needs to just stand there and say, Grace! Grace! Grace, Argentina! I don't know if you ever read any of these books by Juan Carlos Ortiz. There was a great revival in Argentina in the 70s, 1970s. And he was instrumental in that. And I mean, the stadium, the football or soccer stadiums would fill up to hear preachers. And people would just fall on their face and repent. And great miracles and wonderful things of the Lord were happening in Argentina. And that is, you know, that's a passed away generation. So we need to pray that comes again. What is that scripture we stand on? The glory of the Lord will fill the earth. Not just here and then here, but the whole thing. The glory of the Lord. That's a mountain. And so we're cooperating with the Lord by speaking to that mountain. Grace! Grace! Well, maybe your mountain is a little more personal. Maybe something in your physical body or something in your life or something in your family that seems to hold you back. I told you when I was being raised up, they said women are not allowed to minister to men. You can minister to children. You can minister to other women, but you're not allowed to minister to men. And they have a scripture that they stood on. And so I felt called even back then to minister, but I knew I was not going to be allowed to minister from the pulpit. And that held me back from going on with my destiny. And Satan used that to say, well, if you can't minister, well, you can't do anything. You might as well just live a life of sin. So I thought, well, okay. You win. But God won. God pulled me out of all of that. In Jesus' name. So maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's something you believe or something you were told or something in your body or something hindering you from being willing to speak to that mountain. Grace. The grace of God is going to move you, mountain. The grace of God is going to make you into a plan. And we will shout, beautiful. We will shout, God has been very kind. We will shout, grace. It was alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is very good. I thought it was very interesting, the word they chose right here. Right? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, right? And he shall bring forth a headstone. So, therefore, the mountain, you know, was shouting, so the mountain's going by, and he's placed a headstone. Mm-hmm. And that's something. So, whatever big problem you have, put it down, put a headstone on it, you're dead.
Oh, you're thinking about a grave one.
Well, headstone.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to think what that was. Okay.
And follow up with the other translation, the bottom of the message probably is a cornerstone.
So it says, headstone really speaks even more to me.
Building. And so you build one after you remove the mountain, and then place the cornerstone. So it's still saying, mountain, you're gone. Mm-hmm. You're dead. You're over with.
Thank you for bringing that. That's excellent.
You know, that scripture that talks about cornerstone, if you know anything about building, you probably think of a concrete slab or
foundation.
Thank you. And a cornerstone is what they use to measure everything to make right angles. Okay? So this is the cornerstone. So I thought about that a lot. How could Jesus be the cornerstone if he's stuck over here in the corner? And someone said, no, you're thinking of a square foundation. The building of the Lord is like this. So here is the cornerstone. And it all is the disciples, the prophets, and then you and me. So he is the foundation that is triangular shaped. He's the corner stone. And in Revelation it says on him were built all the prophets and then the disciples and the, you know, goes on. So what we're really, as someone new is added to the kingdom of God, you know, it's bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, 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 like this.
Bill don't make much sense of
Hallelujah. So, yes. So what are we doing? Just like John said, we are saying grace for that mountain to be leveled. Now, the cornerstone, the foundation of God can be built in our lives where it used to be a mountain of problems.